Okay. City Council meeting for Tuesday, November 17th, 2020 is called to order. Invocation by Councilman Jerry, followed by our Pledge of Allegiance.
It's good to see you. God, a great crowd. Let's pray. Father, we just come to you with grateful hearts. We're grateful for our city. We're grateful for all that you have done for us in this entire year, Lord. And dear, as we enter into our Thanksgiving holiday season, Lord, we give thanks. We give thanks that you have been with us the entire time this year as we continue with COVID-19, as we're on the recovery efforts with Hurricane Sally. And Lord, you have been with us, you have directed us, and we are grateful, and we say thank you. We lift up Central America, who's taken a second direct impact hit from a hurricane, Lord. We pray for those people down there. We pray for safety, and we pray for comfort. And bless all the first responders that will be responding to them, trying to help them recover. We're most thankful, Lord, that life is better here because of our employees. We're thankful for our employees, our first responders, employees that do their daily task every day. Life is better here because they are the rock we stand on, and we say thank you for them. Lord, we thank you for our residents who live here every day. They love our city. They love and they contribute, helping in every way. They are the heart of our city, and we're thankful for that. You have blessed us. Bless us as we move forward. We're grateful for our mayor and our council. Lord, I ask that you will pour out blessings of knowledge, understanding, humility, wisdom, care, and love as we move forward and make this city even better. We thank you that you have given us the opportunity. Bless everyone here. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Entertain a motion considering tonight's agenda.
Move to approve the agenda with six additional items. First being a resolution authorizing a change order with Asphalt Services. Second, a resolution authorizing a task order with Sawgrass Consulting. Third, a resolution appointing members to the Library Board. Fourth, a resolution appointing a council member to the Planning Commission. Fifth, a resolution appointing a member to the Board of Adjustment. And the sixth, a resolution authorizing a task order with Crowder Gulf to remove three abandoned vessels.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Consideration of previous minutes from our work session, Flood Damage Prevention Board meeting, Solid Waste Authority meeting, regular council meeting, committee of the whole meeting, special call meeting of 10-2020 and 10-27-2020. Move forward for review. No objections or any minutes will be waived. Any corrections to the minutes? No corrections. Minutes stand approved as written. Any announcements by council?
Mayor, I'd like to say a few things. I want to start off with Ford and his finance department. I'm finished. Trust me, falling asleep reading this. But all the directors of these departments that vetted why, you know, they wanted a raise, since this year wasn't going to be a good year, how about these and you know, all of this work, thank you, and to your staff.
Yes.
It's a lot. Annette, you and your finance committee, thank you. It's a lot of work. Mayor, thank you, because I know you've got a lot of input. It's stated in here. But all your directors, department heads, and your employees, we've had a heck of a year. We're still having a heck of a year throughout our nation. There's a lot of areas around the Gulf Coast that are just hurting bad. Never really thought they would be impacted the way that they would impact. But I'm going to say something about our city. Yesterday was day 60, two months after the hurricane. I can't say enough of how everybody in our city has pulled up their bootstraps. I've met with people that are fighting insurance companies left and right, trying to help them, console them. There's nothing really much I could do. I'm battling insurance companies too. Me and Jerry were having a quick conversation. He is too. I'm on claims adjuster, desk adjuster number 3. Have patience, because me and my wife and my family, we didn't get pushed out of our house. We make do, but there's still a lot of people out of their houses, in campers, you know, and dislodged. But I just can't say, because traveling around like a couple weekends ago up around Clark County and Washington County, those folks were devastated by the last storm. We got hit, but we didn't get hit like they were, and they were ill-prepared. Our staff has prepared us over the years, and that's why our community looks so much better than most. But it's because of the dedication to all these employees, whether you're standing up against that wall,
yes,
or you're sitting in a chair tonight. Amen. I just can't say enough thank you. And I know the council shares the same feelings, but just thank you. We're going into the holiday season, and we got 46, 47 days left of 2020. Everybody enjoy the holiday season. Hope it comes in quick without a bang. Thank you. I just can't say enough. Thank you.
It's hard to follow, but Chris, will you do me a favor? Put those pictures I sent you. I talked to Susan Boggs today. I know everybody, our fishing fleet is sort of the foundation of our city, along with our beaches. Sand Rock Marina, the docks on the east side have been rebuilt. The docks on the west side have started being rebuilt, and Zeke's is supposed to start next week or Thanksgiving week. So that's a really good sign. Things are coming back. It's going to be a slow recovery, but they are. I wanted to show these pictures. This is Terry Cove. And Chris, flip on over for me that other one. One more. What you're seeing is the remnants of foam docks all over the place, all over the swamp. And you can't pick it up.
It's
the floating docks. Foam, yeah, docks. Yep. That once they just got hit and destroyed, they just tear apart like this. And it's a nightmare for our crews to clean them. Wade, I know you just walked in. I mentioned it to Philip earlier. I would like to look into, as we go forward with docks, possibly removing foam docks off of it. If they want to do concrete with the black plastic, fine. But if this is going to be the result every storm and we're the ones that are picking it up, it's probably something we should consider. So if y'all wouldn't mind looking into that and bringing it to us, I'd be grateful just because of this right here.
Jeff, what I understand is the floating docks, the styrofoam core is what gives it its buoyancy, right? They're attached to pilings. They rise and fall with the tide. Caribe's got them. I think Caribe had failure at first. They had to re-engineer and come back.
Well, like Grandeur has them, but Grandeur's are the black plastic,
yes,
that
sir,
actually are floating on top with the concrete.
Right.
And they don't break apart like the foam ones do.
Gotcha.
So they do have alternatives to
alternatives,
the foam.
Alternatives, yes. I gotcha.
Yep. Yes.
And I'd like to just look what the options are.
Sure.
I don't want to cut it off, and I don't want to, but I think we really need to look at it if this is going to be the result and we're the ones dealing with it. And we have to look at it. I mean, that's the swamp, or the marshland in Terry Cove. And that picture was sent to me today.
Well, we know what styrofoam doesn't do.
It doesn't disintegrate.
It doesn't disintegrate.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Jeff, can you speak more into the microphone? We aren't here.
You want to repeat all of that? Now, just as a quick summary, this is foam that is residual from docks that tore apart in Terry Cove. And just bringing it up to say, let's look into it, to possibly removing foam as an option for docks so we don't have to deal with this every time we have a storm. Thank you, Mark. Sorry.
If we're going to consider that, we need to move quickly to make a decision for someone under case purchase or some type of commitment to it if we're not going to allow it. But I do think I have to agree, that's a mess, and I don't know who's going to clean that up right there.
Well, your coastal resources are cleaning it up. They spend about an hour on it and then move on every day because I think it drives them crazy having to deal with it. So,
well, my point is someone's got to pay for it.
That's right.
We're
and
paying for it.
It looks like we're paying for it.
Yes.
And
yes,
it's labor intense to clean. It's not like going in and pulling the others out. So,
right. So
I never thought I would say this, but it's environmentally unfriendly. So,
to all the people playing soccer out there tonight, he did say that.
Still like plastic straws.
This is being recorded, correct?
But we should make plastic straws legal. All right. Anybody else?
One thing I forgot. I apologize. SEC Women's Soccer Championship is playing this week out at Sportsplex. Tonight, yeah. And then Sunday is the final game, right, Laura?
Right, semifinal
with Thursday. Yep. Schedule's on our website, so. Yes.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
So Auburn's playing football tonight? y'all are good at that kind of football.
Football.
Anybody else? Auditing accounts.
Move to certify the cash requirements with no related interests are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Move to certify the cash requirements with related interest in Swift Supply are within the budget and appropriate for payment.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Abstain. Excuse me.
Greg, Mr. Alexander, do you have a presentation for us? Coastal Alabama Business Chamber.
Yes.
Thank you, sir.
We'll take about a minute here. Just wanted to come to you real quick and give you an update. On your chamber. And I'd like to say to each and every one of you, Mayor and Council, thank you so much for your support of your Coastal Alabama Business Chamber. A couple of quick points I'd like to make as this crazy year starts to come to an end, we hope,
yes.
And better days ahead, absolutely. If you look, we got into our new beautiful facility at the Wharf here in Orange Beach back in June. Thank you all so much for that. We have remained busy and diligent during since that time, and that has been a highlight of 2020, as you can imagine. And also, I'd like to tell you, just brag on the board and the staff that we have received the designation as Alabama Accredited Chamber of Commerce from the state chamber for the next 4 years. So that's a credit to the team as well as our board and our members. Two particular points that I'd like to bring out is when we started our process and our mission of what we wanted to accomplish as we moved into our physical location here in the city of Orange Beach, we wanted to create a new event that would complement those that are already being done here in Orange Beach. And we have Holidays on Main. We have been able to put that together for December 12th and 13th. It truly is a special event. We sunset the old Merry Market. This will have nonstop entertainment for two straight days. It will be local talent. It will be school children and choirs and local bands and dance troupes and karate and you name it. Fred Astaire is going to come teach us how to dance, line dance, I think, but as well as all the amenities at the Wharf. The whole reason and purpose behind this, as we know, is to drive our tourists and our day trippers and our local citizens to the Wharf to support our restaurants and support our retailers and support our lodging partners. So we're excited. We think this is a concept and a foundation that we can grow each year and just keep adding new and exciting aspects to this. The second point I'd like to make is we also made a commitment that we would grow our membership, our business support, and business engagement here in the city of Orange Beach. We put together a strategic plan for this. I'd set to kick off on September the 15th of 2020. So needless to say, that did not happen. But in January and February, we will have this campaign ongoing. We truly have captured all of the businesses, all those folks licensed within the city of Orange Beach. We'll be reaching out to them personally, in person with our board, our membership, and welcoming them to our ranks, because we think it's important that we can provide information, vital information to them, business type information, training, networking, provide them educational resources, and that is our goal, and that is what we will be working toward. Two quick testimonials, if you don't mind, from within the city of Orange Beach. One of the GM of a very large entertainment district in Orange Beach did go on record to say that the chamber's informational emails during COVID and Hurricane Sally became their official source for business resources. So that felt good that we have been able to play a role, even though it's a non-traditional role this year. And also, we had a small business owner come to us at the office and almost in tears that said they're just so excited for Holidays on Main because of what it will mean for their business specifically this year. So that's why we do these things. That feels good. And the last thing that's a bit humbling to me as the president of the chamber is even with the type year we've had and with what all of our businesses have gone through and continue to go through, we do maintain a 90% retention rate in our membership. So that's a credit to them.
And Greg, that is an amazing statistic for the strength of a chamber. I have dealt with chambers really all over the state, and most of them, 50%. If they get 50% retain, and that's actually retaining your members, that is a great number.
Well,
and this chamber has been in the 90s the last several years, but 90% means you got strength and you're targeting the members and you're meeting their needs, and so we appreciate that.
Well, thank you, Jerry. And just a quick glimpse into 2021 in the first quarter. Throughout the year of 2021, the majority of our First Friday forums will be right here at the Orange Beach Event Center. We thank you all and thank them for hosting that. We will be kicking off a Women in Business luncheon speaker series called Power, H-E-R is the last part of that, Hour, that we're excited about that will be there at the Event Center. And also, look through Charles Weber back here behind me and his committee, Public Policy Council. We look forward to assisting you all in putting together some meetings to bring businesses to the table on a maybe a periodic basis just to talk about the issues facing the city, and they can ask questions from there. So anything else we can do to assist you all at the city, please let me know. If you have no further or no questions, I'm done.
Thank you, Greg.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you.
Hey, it's a big deal. Today, the governor of Ohio came out and said that there will be a 3-week curfew on retail in the state of Ohio. Imagine what that does to the small business coming into Thanksgiving and into Christmas and Black Friday.
Yes.
And, you know, just so many of our local business owners continue to just say thank you. If you travel to New Orleans, you see Dini's restaurant and the Brennan's restaurants and places just boarded, and you just kind of go, oh my gosh, and you come back home and we've been able to function. So what you guys are contributing, Charles, of the policies, thank y'all, because it matters and people are grateful.
Absolutely.
Jeff, is that effective immediately up there?
I think it's effective tomorrow.
Thank God I live in Alabama.
Amen.
There'll be no curfew in Orange Beach. Moving to resolutions. Resolution authorizing the execution of a performance contract with the Alabama Coast Convention Visitors Bureau hosting SEC.
Move to postpone.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of 2019 audited financials.
Move to approve the 2019 audited financials.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
I just wanted to
I'm sorry. I didn't think there was any discussion. I apologize. Go
well,
ahead.
Actually, if Mr. Silvers fell asleep in the budget book, we were going to go through each page.
54 pages. Jason, this. Jeffrey, thank you for being here tonight. 54 pages of that audited financial statement.
Yeah.
Yes.
No.
It's a sleeper.
It's almost like you want to say something. You just got to, right?
Did you catch any mistakes?
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Well, I was about to say that I was very thankful for Jeff and Jason, but no, I'm just kidding. No,
we are thankful. We expected at least 14 pages of mistakes or something along there, but no, good job, guys.
In all seriousness, they've done a great job throughout this audit, especially dealing with an extended tax deadline and the COVID issues. So we really appreciate both Jeff and Jason for getting this done and look forward to continuing to add them on for another year.
So. Right. Yes, absolutely.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank y'all. Appreciate you. All right. Resolution approving fiscal 2021 budget, City of Orange Beach.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion?
Well, I just echo Jeff's comments. A tremendous budget, and the clarity and the detail was the best I've seen forward. So I just want to say thank you. It made what you sometimes think is a difficult thing, you allowed us to be able to understand it and know what we're doing. And so anyway, thank you.
Well, I just wanted to commend all the department heads, because I put out a template that, you know, allows them to put all their needs in it, and everybody complied with what I've asked them, and it made the finance committee with Ms. Mitchell and everybody else very easy. And I appreciate, on behalf of all the employees, for the support that the council has showed us this year, especially in a difficult year. So I just, on behalf of everybody, want to thank you. Thank you all.
Thank you for it.
I don't want to belabor this, because y'all know they've done a great job, but how much did we come under budget last year? $5 million?
Yes, sir.
I mean, how many governments come under budget on the expense side?
Yeah.
And how many come to the table not asking for what they had the year before, or asking for the moon and stars, hoping that they could get more or settle for that? None. They came to the table with exactly what they felt like they needed. And
they made adjustments. They made adjustments to the year. Our spring break was washed out. So you're right, Mayor. I agree with you. That's huge.
You know, most governments, you spend every penny in the budget because you're afraid they're going to cut you if you don't.
That's right.
Right.
They did. Yeah. And they came back and asked for what they need. And if they need it, they'll spend it. And we have complete and total trust that it needs to be spent. If they come in under, then we know and appreciate them. So anyway, just want to make sure everybody knows.
Yes.
That's a big deal in my mind for government. So, heck, that's a big deal for business, period. So, thanks, Ford.
Thank you, Ford.
All in favor?
Aye.
Resolution extending the entertainment district at the Wharf.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution extending the entertainment district at Sand Rock.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the purchase of a portable generator, Utilities Department, $79,864.77.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion?
Just for the record, Harbor Freight has those portable generators on sale for like $400.
I was going to say, what kind of portable generator is $80,000? Wow.
Call Ford, would you make a note,
call
please?
Call for the vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution. Professional Services Agreement, SafeSpan, Post-Hurricane Sally Engineering Bridge Inspection Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing the execution. Professional Services Agreement, Burke Klein Peter, Project Engineering Services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution of task order. Burke Klein Peter. Environmental study permitting Wolf Bay Bridge, $212,942.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hopefully this is the end of the spending. There's one other possibility as an outlier, but we won't know for a little while on that one. Resolution? Yeah, we're waiting on the course, all up to the Corps and the Coast Guard. So, do we vote?
Yes.
Okay, resolution authorizing execution of professional service agreement, Sawgrass, Civil Engineering Land Surveying Services.
Move to adapt.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for athletic uniforms. Okay, move to postpone. Have a motion.
Move to postpone consideration until the next council meeting on December 1st.
Second.
Discussion? We just have to review the bids. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution awarding the bid for Hurricane Sally HVAC repairs, Orange Beach Event Center. Comfort systems not to exceed $135,813.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution. Emergency purchase boots, Fire Department, Houston Galveston Council, $20,580.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing execution contract amendment 6, Crowder Gulf Sonar Services locating submerged waterway debris, Hurricane Sally.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion?
Philip, is this all channels, or it's just channels, or is it all waterways? What are they going to survey?
It will include the course channels, like the ICW, Perdido Pass, or the two tangents north of the bridge. But we're going to do some test areas first and just see the extent we need to do so we can quantify what's on the bottom. And we're waiting on a core permit to remove that. So we'll probably do a little test first. But it may be that we need to do the entire.
Does this fall under FEMA?
Yes, it would be eligible for FEMA to quantify and agree with that.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution. Purchase stop loss medical insurance, City of Orange Beach. Did y'all review that?
Yes.
Forward it out for you? Okay.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Move. We want the recommendation that you made on that option, right? Thank you.
Yes.
I think it makes perfect sense.
It does.
Yep. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing additional one-time payment for future services.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. What did we come up with?
2,000.
I'll let you tell folks what we're going to do.
So we will be everybody full-time employee that had their one-year anniversary as of today and is over probation will receive $2,000 one-time payment. Full-time employees hired from November 18th to today will receive $500, and all part-time employees that worked the 2 weeks following the hurricane directly related to helping out, recovering from the storm, will also receive $500, which is a deviation from what we've done in the past. And again, that just speaks to the support that you have given the employees this year. And it's going to be greatly appreciated. Obviously, if you've voted here in a few minutes, we will, finance department will look to send out the funds next week before Thanksgiving for all the families and employees.
Okay. So everybody's good with deviating from the norm because of the storm?
Certainly are.
Showing appreciation for all those that
well deserved.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Resolution authorizing execution of change order number 4, Asphalt Services, Coastal Resources Center site work, not to exceed $185,966.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing task order, Sawgrass, Civil Engineering, Site Planning, Coastal Resources Center, $8,200.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution reappointing Joni Blaylock and Sharon Ramirez to the Library Board.
Move to adopt the resolution.
Second.
Any discussion? Thank you, Joni. You do a great job.
Yes,
appreciate
thank you.
It.
Thank you, Joni.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appointing the member of the Council Planning Commission to serve a 4-year term.
Move to adopt the resolution appointing Annette Mitchell.
Second.
Make that a little bit longer.
Hold on a minute.
I was fixing to say, I couldn't appoint her. All right. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution appointing members to the Board of Adjustment. Board of Adjustment works too.
Move to adopt the resolution appointing Tim Blackwell, Linda Bradley, Greg Kennedy, and Tim Harry, and one open spot for a supernumerary.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Tim is here. Do y'all, everybody know Tim Harry?
Yes.
Okay.
Tim, thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
We have one other spot open for, and I've got somebody in mind. I'll run by
good
y'all.
Good deal.
If y'all would like
thank
to.
You,
okay.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you, Linda.
Okay, so Mr. Harry will be a supernumerary?
Yes.
Yes.
And Mr. Kennedy will not?
He will be a full member.
Okay, just want to make sure I clarified that.
And Mrs. Bradley will be a full member.
And Mrs. Bradley obviously will move up.
Right. Supernumerary.
Right, so there's one opening for a supernumerary.
Perfect. That's correct.
Thank you.
Resolution authorizing execution of a task order. Carl DeGuff.
Well, we need to vote.
I'm sorry, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Resolution authorizing task order. Carl DeGuff, abandoned vessels, Hurricane Sally, $89,850.
Move to adopt.
Second.
Okay, discussion?
Yes. Is this the form you gave us?
Yes.
So,
that's this one.
That's two additional vessels that came up today. So everything over 50 feet in the water, our contract says, is a negotiated rate.
So my question, and I'm sure you've had this conversation with others already, these are both sitting in piers at a condominium complex. And I'm assuming it's because they can't rebuild their pier. They're not in a navigable waterway. My gut says, why do we not put this back on the homeowners association or the condo association? They surely know who the vessels are. Somebody on the dock does. And otherwise, we're eating a pretty big chunk here.
Yeah, right. It's expensive.
That may not be reimbursable.
It should be reimbursable.
Should.
Yes. It should. We're following all the guidelines to make it eligible. We're monitoring the removal. We're having the consulting services, Thompson, make the call. Yeah, we think so. That we believe that fits. And again, Thompson and Crowder Gulf both have a lengthy history, even working together, removing vessels going back to all the way to Sandy. And Hurricane Michael, of course, was a very similar effect. The navigable waterway, you know, some of these vessels aren't from that marina.
Right.
So they have a pretty big burden to repair, which insurance doesn't cover.
Right.
The docks and piers and boathouses and lifts. So, you know, it is in state water bottoms, even though it might be in front of a marina. So we will recoup what we can from insurance and from the salvage. I know one of the boats, not in this list, because everything under 50 feet, we have a unit price for.
Right.
One vessel we understood had two brand new Detroit diesels in it. So we know we can salvage several thousand dollars, probably between 30 and 40 for that, and we'll apply that, and we won't double dip with FEMA. But working in the water is very expensive. And the quotes we got for the first vessel that Renee sent you, the 55-foot Hatteras, you know, all the quotes I got for that from just checking, you know, the FEMA policy guide says reasonable costs. So what's reasonable? Well, we got to check. So J&M Marine, Walter Marine, those guys were all over $40,000 because it's divers, it's a heavy crane, it's just expensive. So.
Okay. Well, Philip, are these the only two vessels of this length that we have in our jurisdiction that are left?
Three. Third one was already attached, so I didn't. Gotcha. It wasn't handed out.
Yeah, that's but the for other three one, vessels.
Yeah, the this other one was the Dreamweaver.
I'm trying to put this map together. The 89,000. This two right here.
It comes out close to 30 apiece.
Yes, sir.
So, I don't.
So that's it that we know of.
Over 50 feet.
Yes, sir.
That we know of, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I believe it is. Yes, but, sir. You know, just one is practically underwater. We got to measure it today, and it came out 52, I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, another one was 55. So.
But we are going to pursue the owners as well.
Whatever you guys want to pursue.
Yep. And we do.
We have to.
If you own a boat that big and you don't have insurance, then shame on you.
Well,
I have to.
We have one on Gulf Bay Road, the gentleman, deceased gentleman. I mean, he got an insurance payment, and we know his policy number. So
yeah.
He got paid for the total, but not for the removal. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think it's a little unfair that it falls on the public.
Yeah.
Well, so
I don't think everybody else in here should have to.
But our mission is to clean up the water.
No, we got to get them out. I'm not worried about that. But I'm on the backside of saying we need to pursue whatever remedy we can to reimburse taxpayers.
Yes.
So
yes.
If you own a boat, you got to be responsible.
Was it this year we got the sailboat off the beach, or was it last year?
Oh, that was year before. And then we had another big sport fisher on the beach.
The Hallam boat.
That we got. Well, that was on the jetty.
On the jetty.
We had another one on the beach, and it got dug out. And insurance paid for that, but we got stuck with the Hallam boat.
Yes.
So we're crushing it while we're dealing with these.
So. Y'all good with that?
Yep.
Yes.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, moving to public hearings. Public hearing to fulfill the conditions of approval set by the Planning Commission for site plan review, Gulf Coast Rental Auxiliary Parking. Okay.
This is presented by the applicant.
Okay.
Hey, good afternoon. So I had a couple.
State your name and your address, please.
I'm sorry. Thank you. John Harris, 23776 A West Cypress Way, or Tater, as most people call me.
Where? Cypress where?
West Cypress Way.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir. So I'm looking to do auxiliary parking for condos, overflow parking for condos. In the adjacent property here, I have a storefront right there in Posh Plaza. The Planning Commission has requested that we resurface the road going from the cul-de-sac all the way back to Canal Road. I do not own the property, nor do I have that property leased, and have was not part of my site plan or my application. It's an economic hardship, and it would not make this project viable whatsoever. Even if I own the property, it would just be a null and void. The cost of resurfacing that road estimated would be around 150 to 200 grand just to do that. Now, there was also, we requested in our site plan to do gravel in the parking area as well as the adjacent storage units to the east and the west are both gravel as well. The business owners, the tenants that share with me, they're okay with gravel as well. There's no issue from business owners. I didn't get a hold of Dollar General business owners, but Jimbo Waldrop, Jude, Ted Landrum, and Michelle Landrum are all okay with gravel as well. So the cost of gravel versus the cost of asphalt, there's about a 3x cost difference for me, and I'm just not sure that would be a viable option for us to do.
May I ask a question, please?
Yes, ma'am.
You do not own that land.
That's correct. I have it leased for the next.
So I'm not sure that you have standing because the application was made in the name of the owner of the land, Mr. Brazelton. So now you are a tenant at his facility, and the restriction that the Planning Commission put on your application through the landowner was strictly to him, not to you. And we have, and Wanda's going to have to correct me if I'm wrong, but we do not have the ability to force you, the tenant, to do anything.
That's right.
It is the owner of the property, and it was my impression that Mr. Lucido was going to be here on behalf of the owner.
He is the applicant, per the submittal.
Okay. So, Wanda, do you understand what I'm asking?
I don't.
Okay. He is the tenant. The owner of the property refuses to even take our calls to improve the road that he wanted to own. So when this came before the Planning Commission, the Planning Commission decided that there should be no further development of his land until he responds to us and corrects the deficiency. Am I representing that properly?
We have a history of lack of maintenance on that roadway that the owner has not addressed.
Well, mm-hmm. I think everybody in this town knows that.
Who is the owner?
Dewey Brazelton. He also owns the property that's being leased by Mr.
Okay. Harris.
So the only Harris. Good thing, if this works, right there.
It's where it's awful.
Well, it's actually better now because when they came in with this road, They have fixed that up. They have Aldot fixed it, not the owner, but it is fixed.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And his current business is here where he does rentals and Jeep rentals, the Spider rentals, and anything beach related. My concern is this. He's already renting there, and it's almost as though if he wants to rent here, we're putting him in a position between him and the owner. It's almost like we're putting him in a hindrance trying to get to the owner.
Well, there's one more point. This picture is not the current picture of that property.
You currently have boats. We have pictures of it current today. So
you are already renting space there without permission.
I have a business license granted by the city of Orange Beach. It allows parking. That was granted to me in July of this year.
I don't think you have a license to do what you're doing.
I mean, the business license says otherwise that I have. I also have my own personal equipment on that property as well. So, and to further point, if I do construction on the property, I would have to park stuff on there before I finish construction as well. There is a problem in the cul-de-sac right now with the road. I've agreed to fix that, even though that wouldn't be my cost, and part of it is online and not, and you can't fix half of it. So I have no issue fixing that. It would be an improvement to the road, but I can't resurface all the way up to Canal Road. I mean, really, I can't.
Well, and nor were you asked to.
Yes, ma'am. I was asked to by the Planning Commission.
No, Mr. Brazelton was asked to repair his road.
I mean, I was the applicant. So, I mean, for me, if I go and do this and it puts $200,000 on him, he kicks me, I lose my business. I mean, for me, that's not a good...
it's complicated and it's longstanding and you're caught in the middle.
Okay, well, I just don't want to cut our nose to spite our face because we got a running feud with somebody who won't fix a road. If we need parking, off-site parking, and we don't have it in the city, and this is an option, then why don't we explore that, whether we get Mr. Brazelton or whatever his name is to do what he's supposed to do or not?
The increased traffic is going to further degradate that road. It's going to get worse and worse and worse.
But it's a private road.
And if he's never going to do anything about it, this may be the only way we can get him to do
something.
But it's
a private road. But it's none of our business whether it's in good shape or not. That's his. When his tenants get tired of a beat-up road, they'll either quit renting or they'll demand that he fix it.
But when people bottom out and get their car... hurt, you're going to get the call.
No,
but
the only people
going back there are either renting here or have businesses or renting out of here.
Or they're staying at a condo and parking or whatever they're doing right here.
Well, let's just say that is it Brazelton?
Yes, sir.
Let's just say Mr. Brazelton's not a nice guy and he's not going to do what he's supposed to do. So do we cut our nose to spite our face and not allow a off-site parking, which I think we all agree we need, because Mr. Brownston's not a nice guy. That's all I'm asking. And I don't know if I'm playing as devil's advocate. I don't know the right answer, but I'm thinking, do we need off-site parking or not? I know that I've talked with some of the larger rental companies, and they say they absolutely could use it. Mm-hmm. It would make use of it. So I don't know whether there's an issue with the gravel, an issue, or if it's a multiple issues, issue with gravel, issue with road improvements, and then issue whether we want a parking space or there. And I go back to what you're using it for, whether you have a business license or not.
Yes, sir.
The business license still has to be appropriate for the zoning of that property.
Yes, sir.
So if there's a miscommunication on what you're using for in the business license, that does not alleviate you from abiding by the zoning.
Yes, sir. We need
to get that cleared up, okay?
Yes, sir.
But going back to, and again, I'm here nor there. I'm just saying if we need off-site parking, we don't have any other options anywhere right now. He's got at least for 2 years, is that right? Or three? 5 years? All I'm saying is that something we need, and we're good with it.
My name's Sarah Harris.
You need to come to the microphone.
Ma'am. It's because all this is recorded. Thank you.
Sorry.
She's primary owner.
She the power.
My name's Sarah Harris. I'm his wife. We own Gulf Coast Rental Company, and this summer we got maybe 10 to 15 calls a day for people in the area looking for parking. So there is definitely a need.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, sir.
And So I went to their ribbon cutting, what, a week ago?
Yeah.
And congratulations on your place. And I went to look at this and to look at their facility. Very professional. What I saw as a benefit is their business is there. They're here watching, and they have their own stuff on it. I looked at it as an overflow viability for the condos, kind of the same way, thinking it was an option. And my thought on it was, there's gravel there, and there's gravel at Jerry's next door. It just, and if you're willing to fix the back, I didn't see the issue. I understand we have a problem. That gentleman has refused to fix that hole, which is an embarrassment to the city, and it gets really bad.
Yes.
It kind of patches it, but hopefully what Aldott did might repair it better this time. It looks as though it is better. And I don't know what else we can do to force him on a private road to fix it. Kid, is there anything we can do?
No, because, I mean, we have private roads all over the city that are not brought up to city standards, and it's not generally something that we, you know, if it was clearly a life safety issue, clearly, you know, like when you have that big pothole, then yes, we can get stronger. But if it's just, you know, something that's not a life safety issue, then it's problematic.
Right.
So is there a problem down in the cul-de-sac? Y'all keep saying there's an issue down in the cul-de-sac.
Yes, to the picture of the cul-de-sac, if you don't mind.
There's a lot of trucks that run through there.
Yes.
And they use that turnaround to turn their trucks around, so they wear away the middle of the road. But we can fix that.
We have no issue fixing that. Plan would be, my brother's a general contractor here. He's doing the tennis court lights currently here. We would take...
But he's an asphalt road builder.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Take and dig that up and pour concrete in it to make it much more stable than just putting half an inch of asphalt on top of it.
See, those 18-wheelers are spinning right there.
Yeah, they go into Dollar General.
They're trying to Dollar General. They're trying to...
Yeah.
Yes, I did say Dollar General.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's where those drive wheels are turning, and actually, so that's, you know, that's made it a weaker. But how much of that are you going to tear out?
We're going to go all the way around the cracks. It's probably a 30-foot diameter, I would 30 say.
30-foot diameter?
Yes, sir. I mean, it may, as we get to looking at it, it may just be easy enough to do the whole cul-de-sac.
I, too, have had issues with the entrance into the furniture, into the street. Mm-hmm. From numerous, and I get phone calls too, but it is a private road. I tell people that. I said, I don't know who owns it, but, you know, find out and call them.
I know one
or don't
time.
Go to Dollar General. That was the choice. That's most of the people that complain. We're going to Dollar General and hitting it. Well, I've used Dollar General. I live right across the road, you know, and it's convenient.
And well, right, like, now it's the only one
for the
open.
Life of me, why wouldn't the merchants get together and come up with a plan on that whole strip? I don't know, but, you know, we really can't force private owners, like Mr. Boyd says, to pave the road.
Well, and for us, as we're growing and adding additional vehicles, our vehicles are very low to the ground, and I can assure you if my vehicles are being tore up, leaving, I would fix it on my own, just not to tear up $30,000 cars left and right. I mean, because not everybody that rents treats your stuff like your own. So, I mean, obviously. So, I mean, we have a vested interest in not having 3-foot potholes because I don't like riding off in them with a small car.
Sure.
Ms. Mitchell?
The Planning Commission's purpose is to try to find solutions to problems and present a recommendation to this council. And the solution the Planning Commission considered was not approving further development and forcing him to fix the road. Well, if LDOT, I was not aware that LDOT fixed the road. Is it
the driveway entrance?
Yes.
Just the mouth of the street.
The portion of the drive.
The approach.
Right. The mouth of the street.
That's on their right away.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, if this tenant is willing to take on the responsibility of the owner, it's a win-win. But you've been operating your business without a license or without the correct license. And
The issue remains with the gravel lot.
We've had a phone call from the city to change our license and to get a license for the parking
area. I'm sorry, I cannot hear you.
We got a call from the city to get a license, and the license that they gave us was for the parking area. And we also changed our business license because they
requested during the middle of the year as we started doing parking for us to change our license. We paid, I think, a $50 fee to update our license to add parking to our business license. The code is 812-930, parking lots and garages is the code on my business license.
Okay, then why did you make application for a site plan review?
To further develop the lot, because I can't do anything. We have not scraped anything. We've not pushed a tree. We've not built a fence. We have not poured any concrete. I'm waiting on a site plan review to be approved before we can proceed forward with any additional. So right now, everything's been on grass.
We want to make it nice.
We want to make it pretty. I mean,
I just don't know. What is the issue? I still don't understand what the issue is.
The issue's been resolved about the road, because their LDOT fixed the worst part, and he is willing to repair that part. Gravel lots are not allowed. And so an exemption would have to be obtained.
But it's a parking lot. It's an overflow parking lot. Who's going to pave and spend that kind of money for an overflow parking lot?
Well, I don't think
I mean, it's either to our advantage or it's not. If it's not to our advantage, then we just decline it. I get it. But if it's to our advantage as a city to have overflow parking, which we can, when we complain about parking, then it would make sense that we'd make the exception.
And again, these are decisions for the council, not the planning commission.
Right. Okay. So that's
so the planning commission enforces ordinance. The council legislates.
Storage yard for boat trailers, basically.
So do we not allow gravel on any parking on as a permeable?
Yes.
I would defer to our legal counsel with regard to that question, because it's a legal matter in the zoning ordinance.
So, like, the...
Don't confuse me with the law.
So the storage units that went next to the car wash,
right.
They paved all the way back, and then they did gravel all around.
Right.
Was
right.
That against our ordinance?
It's a PUD.
No.
It's a PUD. Didn't we have to go to PUD to do that?
Jump in anywhere you want to.
I'll let you address the specifics of the ordinance, because I don't have the section.
Okay,
numbers,
let me say what the ordinance says, and then we can have a discussion about there's a concern.
And if you would permit me, I think what would help the discussion to frame the discussion is what is before the council. You have an applicant who appeared before the planning commission and sought site plan approval to construct a gravel parking lot on property
yes.
that he has the right to possess.
Yes. Right, yes.
I believe his application complied with your requirements that the owner gave him permission to apply. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, so.
Actually, Vince Lucido is the applicant.
Yeah, okay. Actually, it's here. Vince Lucido. Lucido is the actual applicant.
So,
as an owner and a representative.
So our zoning ordinance allows persons to apply for site plan review. So he is a proper applicant.
Mm-hmm.
Then he made his case to the planning commission that he wanted a gravel parking lot. Kit will read you that ordinance, but my recollection of the ordinance is that asphalt is required unless the planning commission authorizes gravel, and there are certain conditions that people can establish to show that gravel is appropriate in that location. In this case, the planning commission denied the request for gravel. And so what is before the council right now is whether to uphold the decision of the planning commission or whether to allow the gravel, because you have the discretion to do that, not because you are the council, because you can't legislate on the fly, but because we have an ordinance on the books that allows you to exercise discretion with respect to asphalt. Does that help?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Thank you, Wanda.
I would be happy to read you the ordinance if you'd like to hear it. But basically, in a nutshell, it says alternative all-weather services such as gravel, shell, pervious concrete, and reinforced turf may be approved by the Planning Commission in consideration of site conditions, traffic intensity, and land use. And this is an alternative material.
So my understanding and the interpretation of that in the 8 years that I have sat here has really been, if it's adjacent to Canal Road, if we are in a high traffic area, if it's visual, in the case of the car wash, where it affected possibly the people that were getting their cars washed, it might affect them. But I guess like when Mark Keel just built his, that's a gravel parking lot. It's so consistent that we allow gravel through the city. I just assumed that it was part of the ordinance that it is allowed.
It is allowed as an alternative with a special consideration by Planning Commission. It's not a standard. You can't just use gravel in all scenarios. It would not be appropriate.
We let Greg Kennedy do it back on the housing complex.
That's a planned unit development.
But we still let him do it.
Correct. You approved it as a part of the planned unit development.
I don't know. I don't think we got to get in the weeds on it. We have the ability to grant a gravel parking lot.
Yes.
For me, the choices is clear. Your dislike for gravel is much greater than our need for an overflow parking. Which one is it? Either we want the parking with gravel, because without it we're not going to have it, or we don't need the parking and we don't want light gravel. To me, it's just that's the simple decision in front of me. So,
what are you going to do for security? I'm just curious.
So we're partnered with a company called Premium Parking. They have an app. They spend about $4 million developing. They do downtown Mobile, downtown Pensacola. They do all over the country. So with that, once light poles would be installed, they have cameras available that'll take a picture of a license plate, and if somebody has not paid within 30 minutes, it automatically looks up their tag number and sends them a text message notifying them that they haven't. So we would also have the cameras there to see people, you know, come in and out, so you would see every license plate coming in and out. Granted, somebody could steal a car and you wouldn't know who that was. There would also be lights there. We were planning on repurposing the lights from the tennis courts that were taken down and putting new LED heads on to make it much, much brighter. We're there, especially in the summertime, from 7 a.m. to about 8 p.m. every night ourselves.
10 p.m.
So,
is there a fence other than this yellow plastic chain?
No, sir. There is not a fence, but I'm not a
proposed fence,
sir.
Are you proposing in your site plan?
There is not a fence proposed, but I'm not against putting a fence up if it would make the council happy. I have no issue with a fence.
I don't want people looking at a bunch of boat trailers and stuff like that. All the other storage yards that we have here.
Yes,
like the one down by our golf course, his fence has been knocked down.
Yes, sir.
But I'm sure in time he'll put it back up.
Yes, sir. So the long-term plan for us is short-term parking. We want short-term parking. There's 92 viable spaces that would be accessible to people to pay. We also opened up during a hurricane to anybody that needed to move their boats or their cars from Bear Point. We post on their Facebook page to bring their vehicles up there free of charge. I mean, we'll work with the community as we can. We're not here to make enemies. We're here to, I think it'll be good for the city. I mean, it'll be good for us, but I think it also helps provide a solution to the city, because we probably had 15 people towed from Walmart and come and parked there this summer.
Gotcha.
And they were not happy.
Ms. Mitchell, just in our respect to the planning committee, does this suffice from a planning committee standpoint?
This is beyond the planning commission's scope.
Okay.
So it is right that it came to the council, because this is not the type of decisions. We have ordinances. We support those ordinances. We tried to cure a problem. It now will be cured, thanks to LDOT and to the applicant. And
I don't think we need to require concrete back there.
Bill had something he'd like to add from, but I
Bill Jeffries is a member of the Planning Commission. This is not the representation that we heard. I did not hear anything that I just heard.
No.
Nothing. I asked the question about gravel. I've always felt like gravel was an option for us for no other reason than water draining through it, and we don't have to retain it.
Perfect.
But as Kit pointed out to me, that's not necessarily true, that the material that has to go under the gravel can be as much of a deterrent as the gravel, as the asphalt itself. But I heard nothing about what I've just heard here at the Planning Commission.
No,
really.
And everything I saw had Mr. Dewey Brazelton of Huntsville, Alabama, on all the paperwork.
I'd like to say I apologize for not being at the Planning Commission. I was advised by my engineering firm not to be there, and that was a mistake on my part, and I own that. The way the application is set up, it has owner name. So a lessor is not on the actual development permit application. So there's a reason you have to put the owner's name on there. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ms. Alexander.
The owner has to sign the application, and you or Vince Lucido could be the applicant. In this case, Mr. Lucido chose to be the applicant in this case.
And Mr. Dewey signed the application.
Yes.
Mr. Harris signed the application. But your engineer advised you not to be here for the Planning Commission meeting?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he's not here tonight? Is Mr. Lucido here?
No, sir.
Nope. Okay, thank you.
You're doing good. You have to say
you're doing good. You're good. You're doing good. You don't have to.
You ain't gotta say
Harris. No, that's right. That's
Mr. Fine. Harris, thank you.
I think I laid out what in my mind the case was, but I can I don't like slumlords. I don't like people who own property here that don't take pride in our community enough to keep up what they own here. So Mr. Brazelton is not on my list of favorites. I don't even know if I know the gentleman, but we've had issues with that road for some time. But yes, I still go back to I think we need the parking probably more than cut our nose by the fence.
And I agree, and he certainly is not one that's adding value to our city, but he's not the only one.
No,
we have other owners that are doing the same thing with buildings and stuff like that. They just don't do what's proper as far as a business is concerned. So, but I think the need for parking overrides any of the issues.
Kit, is there a problem with leaving it as is and not no gravel, no concrete? Would that be preferable?
Well, it would be asphalt. Well, would probably be
that is not an all-weather surface. However, this is not required parking to support a business. So,
is that wetlands in that corner?
That is a retention pond.
It is a retention pond.
Would the, because I have no problem with no gravel either, if there's no issue drainage-wise.
Drainage is what I'm thinking.
Now, you're going to end up with a muddy mess in the summer, but you might prefer to have gravel than the muddy mess. I don't know.
Yes, sir, we would prefer to have the option. Gravel for longer-term usage. I mean, it's held up. The ground's very hard. But repeated use, I mean, it tore up asphalt, you know, with trucks there.
Eventually it'll break down.
Yeah, it would break down. It's fine. I mean, you might get a couple more seasons out of it, but longer-term gravel is much more stable.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Everybody, any more questions? Y'all good?
Thank you all.
I would like to mention one thing. Staff is currently drafting an amendment to the zoning ordinance that will disallow gravel for required parking spaces and will only allow it in cases where it is overflow and non-required spaces, because it's problematic for an applicant and it's problematic for the Planning Commission because of the subjective nature of when they allow gravel and when they do not. And right. it also
Who requested that? Who requested that?
It was discussed between legal counsel and the Planning Commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, y'all left somebody out of that discussion. Me.
Okay.
So you just put us in a box. When you take something out and you can't put it back in, you leave us minimal wiggle room in some situations. So I want to make sure that we are never in a box because we created some ordinance because of some situation somewhere that caused a problem when the ordinance has now prevented us from a cure that makes the most sense.
Okay.
So please, when you go back and review it, think about that side of the story.
Okay? Very good.
All right.
So gravel can be as detrimental for drainage and runoff as concrete or asphalt.
The problem with gravel is they may initially place the gravel in a pervious state. However, 5, 10, 15 years down the road, what inevitably happens is base material is brought in to cover that gravel, and it compacts, and it virtually becomes as impervious as pavement through time. It's being compacted by cars driving and trucks driving over it, and it is base material, which has the fines that allows it to be compacted.
So can we disallow base material to go back on top of?
It's virtually impossible to stay on top of. And frankly, in sympathy for the owner, it's only their intuitive, maintenance. We want them to maintain their gravel parking. We don't want those potholes and those problems that we have at gravel parking lots. So, you know, they're going to maintain it, which means they're going to bring in gravel, and it happens all the time. And there's just no way we can stay on top of that and assure that it's going to be pervious. It's just not realistic.
And the direction you're going with the ordinance may be perfectly legit. It may be the way to go. I just, again, don't want to paint ourselves into a box for exceptions and unique situations where we might need to consider it.
Okay. Noted.
Okay.
Thank you.
There's one more comment.
This is a public hearing.
The difficulty is that an ordinance needs to declare what is allowed and what is not allowed. When you start getting into subjective areas of this may be approved as an alternative, then you are getting into a realm of something that only a board of adjustment could approve. And that's been pointed out to staff and the Planning Commission by the Planning Commission legal counsel, that it's very difficult in an ordinance that specifically states what is allowed to have those kind of alternatives. That's the difficulty that staff has currently.
Yeah, I get it, but philosophically, that's like two kids getting in a fight in school, both getting kicked out because the principal don't want to decide who's the bad guy and who's the good guy. You know, that's what we get elected for, is to make decisions, not to have an ordinance tell us what our decision is. So I like the ability to do any darn thing we want to do, as long as we ain't legal, immoral, or unethical. And then we can always suffer the consequences if we make the wrong decision. But I hate being in a box on any ordinance. So I've said enough. That's philosophical. We can talk about that later.
I'm trying to understand the logic. And just if we allow asphalt, there is no imperviousness to it whatsoever. It's going to run off. So we're number one, we're pushing to asphalt. But the concern with gravel is that years later they could come in and put base material that might seal where it may soak, to be just like asphalt. So it doesn't matter to me if it's asphalt or gravel, except cost in some cases, but I don't understand the logic of why we're fighting a gravel, because you'd at least have some runoff for the years before the bays, where asphalt, you have zero.
I'll be honest with you. The pervious nature of the gravel is not the issue. The issue is the potholes, the lack of maintenance, the unsightliness of gravel that staff is consistently seeing, and I think that's what's been pointed out by the Planning Commission, is that gravel tends to not be properly maintained, contained, and addressed. And I think that that's part of the issue, besides this matter of the subjective nature of the ordinance.
And I understand that, and I think, and you've known me for all these years, I always push for the little guy trying to start a business. And if we make an ordinance that makes a building where you've got to do this down the sides and the facade, you make this landscaping tougher and this asphalt tougher, and each one of those are an additional cost. For a guy that's a small starting a business, if we push that out, then we become a city that only large corporations can come into. And I just think there's a balance. And I do agree to, I like the idea to be able to leave it, because I think there are situations where we have to benefit the small business guy and say, you know what, in this case, it works. And this is probably the direction we should head.
And
I respect the idea of what we're doing for the beautification and the upkeep, and I get it. And I get that totally. But I think I'm just always looking to say, where's the balance for the little guy?
And the balance is, if we go with gravel, and there are potholes, and I agree with you, then let the market determine what needs to be done instead of government. Mm-hmm. That is, if I'm going to park my boat or parts of my vehicle, whatever, in a place, and I've got to go through potholes and mud and all that, I'm going to go to the next one and say, I want to find something that's better, or that's maintained. So, so the fine line is where do you let the market determine what the maintenance will be versus government?
Okay, well, changing the ordinance is not, it's for a conversation at a later time. Did you close the public hearing yet, Mayor?
No, ma'am. Was it okay, Kenna?
Well, if you were going to close the public hearing, I was going to make a motion.
Okay. No, I saw somebody.
Bill Jeffries.
Yeah.
You can't close the public hearing.
One of the things that was pointed out to us at planning was what happened to the Harsonies and that parking lot at Luna's. Originally, it was gravel. What do you see down the middle of it now?
Mm-hmm.
It's asphalt.
Mm-hmm.
Because he couldn't keep it maintained.
Mm-hmm. Another thing,
is there a difference between temporary parking and long-term parking in the zoning?
No.
Okay, so anything that applies to long-term would apply to that as far as fencing, lighting, et cetera?
Well, they have agreed to fence and light it.
Well, again, I didn't hear that at Planning Commission.
No. But he just said it now.
I just brought that up, Bill. The fence.
Yeah, the lights are on the drawings.
Yes.
The fence is not on the drawings. I'm not opposed to putting a fence up. I have no issue putting a fence up. We had a fence going down one side, just not the other side,
yeah.
And I'm happy to do that.
Like, Bill, Luna's, again, it's all subjective and personal.
Yes.
For me, the allure, when I pull there, the gravel with the, I mean, it looks like a beach community. If it was all asphalt, I'd look like I'd be at the Walmart. So to me, there is that balance of. But for me, if gravel is and it does become impervious, then we need to approach it in some fashion as if it is impervious when we come to retention of water.
We do.
Okay.
It's addressed. Engineers have no problem with that, so that's really not an issue.
So if it's not a water retention, then I don't know the issue. That's okay. We'll do it later. I had one more question.
You got three boat yards right now. Auxiliary boat yards, J&M Tackle, Jerry's Marine, and that one I mentioned down by the golf course. All of them got gravel.
G&G. I'll
think of it in a minute.
G&G?
Not G&G.
No.
P&D.
And P&D, yeah.
P&D.
Gravel.
Yeah, there you go.
And they're mostly, you see the pictures, mostly boat traders and stuff. The cross ties, the construction material there, the cross ties, those are for to be utilized on the property, right?
They're
You're not storing
utilized
construction.
For parking spaces.
Parking spaces, right.
So they're purchased in anticipation.
All righty. Anybody else in the audience? It is a public hearing. The floor is open. Okay. If not, I'll close the floor. And council, do I have anything else to discuss?
All good.
Okay,
thank y'all
so
for that. That was
I do want to commend the Planning Commission because they performed exactly the way the Planning Commission should.
Amen.
Definitely.
Amen.
And a lot of this would have been cleared up more quickly had the Planning Commission been presented with the same information we're hearing tonight.
I agree with that.
Was the engineer of record there for the Planning Commission meeting, Ms. Mitchell?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, so I make a motion to grant the appeal conditioned by the repair of the turnaround, adding lighting, and adding fencing.
Second.
Any further discussion?
Should we clarify?
Can we clarify that's solid fencing, privacy fencing?
Privacy fencing.
8 foot
privacy fencing.
You're learning. Very good.
I'm not even going to address
that. With a good side facing out. That's funny.
You'd be a good on the planning commission.
I'm a certified construction manager by trade, so I get paid for redrawings a lot.
I second your motion.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, then all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you all, guys.
Thank you, folks.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
We appreciate you.
Thank you all.
And that was very helpful discussion to staff. I know you didn't want to discuss the amendment, but it was very helpful to me. Thank you.
Thank you, Kit.
Thank you.
All right. Public hearing, ordinance amending ordinance number 172, Mariners Lakes, PUD, 23185, Windward Place, Lot 22, setback. Griffin?
Yes, this is at, 25185 Windward Place, Lot 22 in the subdivision. The applicant is requesting approval of a minor modification to the Mariner Lakes PUD master plan for, number one, replacing a 28x10 screen enclosure that was destroyed during Hurricane Sally, and adding a 6x10 roof over an existing concrete patio area. The 28x10 enclosure was constructed prior to 2005, and it's 10 feet from the rear lot line, according to the submitted boundary survey. The Windward Lake subdivision has a 20-foot rear setback for houses, and screen enclosures may go 4 feet or 20% into that setback, meaning that it has to be 16 feet from the rear property line. The previous screen enclosure, I'd say it was 10 feet from the rear lot line, and the request is to replace what was there before. And if we go to the next slide, this is a 2017 aerial showing the site location outlined in red and the arrow pointing to the screen enclosure that was destroyed during the hurricane. Next slide. And this is the boundary survey that the applicant submitted. The red arrows indicating where the screen enclosure is going to be replaced. And they have a little concrete patio area out to the east, and they want to add a roof over that concrete patio area. And next slide. This is a picture provided by the applicant. If you see sort of where the tile floor is, that's where the screen enclosure was located prior to the hurricane. And sort of the bedroom window out the far, that's where the concrete patio area is that they want to add the or extend the roof over. And if we go to the next slide, the rear side borders the pond area, as you saw on the picture, and the land on the north side is the Gulf State Park. The Windward Lakes Architectural Review Committee, they approved the applicant's request. So if you have any questions.
Thank you. Go back to the previous, not that one, I'm sorry. That one. Nope, not that one, I'm sorry. That one. The one to the right of it. Is that same type of thing?
The same.
Did it blow away too?
I don't think it blew away.
Okay. So his is going to be able to stay? His is staying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Look three doors down. It's edge of the house to edge of the house too.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That may be one we've already granted.
Yeah,
This one was built in 05, so
yeah.
Or prior to 05.
Does anybody have a problem with it? I don't have a problem with it.
Nope. Any issue with the neighbors?
The ARC, said they had no issues with it.
We've granted a couple of these along the way.
We have. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing back there. But
asked the Property Owners Association to consider a modification to the overall PUD. This was quite some time ago. I don't know if it's difficulty because it has to have unanimous support from all of the property owners. I think they've indicated that they have no problem with this scenario, and it's unfortunate that it would be difficult to get a PUD modification.
I recall because last one that came in here, I recalled it. It wasn't long ago. We said, why don't we just get the POA to approve those, you know, because they weren't structural to the existing structure. So that basically what you're saying now was the comeback request from them that they really couldn't do it because they have to have.
I don't know. I mean, I basically made a plea and they said they'd look into it, but I sense that that's the difficulty.
I think so.
You have to have every single owner approve the PUD.
Okay, I remember it. Thank you, Kit.
Mm-hmm. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I doubt. I've never seen a unanimous HOA anything, so I don't think we're going to see that.
That would be most difficult.
All right.
All righty. Any questions? It's a public hearing. Anybody in the audience have any kind of comment, question, thought? All right. Close the public hearing. Thank you so much, sir. Moving to ordinances then.
Move for unanimous consent to suspend the rules to allow for immediate consideration of this ordinance.
Second.
Call the roll, please.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes.
Move to adopt the ordinance.
Second.
Councilmember Silvers?
Yes.
Councilmember Johnson?
Yes.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Yes.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Yes.
Councilmember Boyd?
Yes.
Mayor Kennan?
Yes. All right. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Calling the committee of the whole meeting to order Tuesday, November 17th, 2020. Call the roll whenever you're ready.
Councilmember Silvers?
Here.
Councilmember Johnson?
Here.
Councilmember Mitchell?
Here.
Councilmember Blaylock?
Here.
Councilmember Boyd?
Here.
Mayor Kennan?
Here. Moving to new business miscellaneous, and I'm going to move through these quickly, and y'all stop me if you have a question, okay? Discuss rebuilding council, public hearings, committee of the whole meetings. Rescheduling, I'm sorry. December 1st, 2020 to 4 p.m., consideration of Christmas tree lighting at 5:30.
Also, did you guys want to consider rescheduling December 15th at all or leave it where it is?
The what?
December 15th.
I think we need it because of stuff that's coming that okay. It might be. I think we probably should decide that on the 1st to see how the 1st goes. At the end of that meeting, maybe we can discuss whether we need the 15th or not.
Okay. But we do know we have the Christmas tree lighting. That's so do you want to move it to 4? Does that always rush everybody, or do you want to move it to Monday? It's up to y'all. Y'all tell me what y'all like to do. Is 4 good?
4 is
okay,
good.
Okay, we'll keep
four's
it short.
4 is good.
And does anyone have an issue with Mrs. Mitchell lighting the tree with her
8-year-old
niece?
I have known.
No, it's a photo opportunity.
Yeah. You guys are so good to me. It's so hard for me.
On the tree.
Okay.
Shame on me to take a photo opportunity.
Is there any gravel around the tree?
There's no gravel around the tree. Okay. We're good.
No gravel around the tree.
We may be eating gravel, but other than that, we'll be all right.
Later on, Mayor Pro Tem.
I just am so thrilled. Thank you.
All right. Resolution authorizing franchise for Crawls, Cabs, Taxi Service. Police jurisdiction, City of Orange Beach. Resolution, execution, professional service crews, Goodwood, Mills, K-Wood, engineering, design, and testing. Resolution authorizing execution of cooperative agreement, Alabama Department of Environmental Management. Not to exceed $34,500 for permitting, regulating, monitoring, and inspection services. So are we paying ADM to do what they're supposed to do anyway?
They're paying us.
They're paying us. Oh, well, I didn't say. I'm sorry. I take that back. Strike that from the record. Resolution authorizing execution of professional service agreements, Cobbs, Allen, Hall, Insurance, HR Consulting Services. They've done a wonderful job right forward in helping us with our health care costs, so we want to keep them involved.
Yes.
And you said there was going to be an incentive that's in our favor.
Yes, we reduced the price that we were paying them because they were on commission prior, and also there's a 20% reduction if KPI are not pleased with their services that we might
have. All right.
But we worked with them now for almost 5 years, so they saved the city a ton of money.
Right.
Good.
Resolution appointing members to the Employees Leave Bank Committee. Resolution authorizing the execution of task order with Sawgrass. Coastal Resources Trail Shot Wildlife Center, $56,260. Ordinance to exempt certain covered items from municipal sales use tax last full weekend of February. Severe weather preparedness sales tax holiday. Ordinance to exempt certain covered items back to school tax holiday.
And the purpose of these is typically we do them annually, but these will do them in perpetuity, so you'll no longer have to do them annually if you're okay with that.
Thank you.
Public hearing, Coastal Beach Development PUD on December 1st, 2020. Y'all good with that?
As long as I'm not late for the tree lighting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we do
have
two
public hearings, right?
Yeah, and they're actually three. I think, and they were already scheduled, and so they have been contacted. Kit's department contacted them. They were okay with being moved to 4 o'clock. But
I don't think we can get it all done, though.
I don't either.
I don't either.
It's either move it to 3 o'clock or move it to Monday, huh?
Yeah.
Number 4 is easy. Number 4 is easy.
That's what they say.
Yeah.
We can approve it right now if you'd like, Hurst.
Whatever you'd
like. I'll meet you out back. But y'all want to move it to Monday then so we can get all these?
You know what?
Coastal's important. We got to do that one.
We need to do it. We need to move it to Monday.
Yeah, we don't want
to. We need to see if those folks in this public hearing can. Well, we know.
Because, I mean, there may be gravel involved.
The other applicants could be throwing some gravel, so let's see if we can move it to Monday, man.
Okay.
Everything will be moved.
We don't want to miss the tree lighting.
Monday at 5.
True.
Okay. Oh, yes, you guys have planning
that's
commission.
Planning commission day.
As well.
Okay, can we reschedule planning commission
then? Well, that's the special called planning commission for this
item. I thought that was on the 30th.
That is the
30th. That is the
30th. Oh, that is the 30th. That's like the 30th before the 1st.
So to move it, can we do it at 3 o'clock on Tuesday?
Yeah. Can we do that? 3 o'clock on Tuesday? Can y'all do that?
Yeah, 3 o'clock.
Sure?
Yeah.
Sure.
You want to do it at 1 and just not worry about it?
I'm good with that. That would really free us up.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
1 on Monday?
1 o'clock.
1 o'clock.
1
on Monday.
I'm sorry, Tuesday. I'm sorry. 1 on Tuesday the 1st.
Yes.
Is that good with y'all? Okay. Okay, that sounds good to me.
We will contact those applicants and make sure that that's not a problem.
Okay.
I'll repost, yeah.
Thank you for that.
Holly, would you please send us a reminder on Friday and on Monday of that? Or especially me?
Yes.
Thank you. Everyone else will be there. You know, thank you.
And you'll remind me?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
And you're doing that now. Thank you.
I don't want to burden Holly with all the reminders.
Absolutely, Holly.
All right, public hearing, Harbor Club, portion lot 2, rezoning. Public hearing, the Ridge at Romore PUD, and followed up with executive session, discuss threatened impending litigation, which will be dependent on what time we get finished.
Well, no, that's today.
That's tonight.
Sorry. Andy's outside.
You don't see a lot.
How long have you been here, Renee? Golly. All right.
So do we make a move to go into...
Do you want to do public comments?
Yeah, we're going to do public comments now, and then we'll go. Anybody got anything they want to talk about? In a very... Okay.
I saw that. You explained that thoroughly earlier. We're not going to decorate cookies, hot chocolate, and all that other stuff. We have to cut that out this year.
But we will have giveaways.
Giveaways. Then the kids will be there. That's right.
But it's an entertainment district that's been extended, so you can carry whatever you would like around.
We're not going to be giving
children. Eggnog?
Yes.
Is what Mr. Boyd was talking about.
Okie doke. Anybody else got anything? If not, welcome aboard, Tim. Thank you. And I guess we will then go into executive session.
I move to go into executive session to discuss threatened and pending litigation. And where is our attorney to
she
give her state?
She just stepped out.
Yeah.
She dipped.
She went to Russia. So.
She just stepped out.
Second. And I think Wanda has the legal authority to allow us to go do this.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah.
And then did you want to state that you are not reconvening afterwards?
Correct.
Okay. Not reconvening.
Not reconvening. Yeah, let's get out of here.
Not reconvening.
Bye, guys. Thank y'all. Thank you, Bill.
I got to use it.